I had not known how the reconciling grace of Christ not only reconciles us to God, but to one another.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin.
And I'm Rich, Rich Homeris. We're again continuing to visit with Joe Jackowitz. He's been sharing how God changed his life as a Jew growing up in Brooklyn, New York, joined the Marines, moved up the ranks to become a sergeant, and then, surprisingly, found his true Messiah, Jesus, and became a Christian. Now, Joe, when we left off, you went to the barracks there in the Marine Corps, and you had a mission. You had a surprising reunion with a person there called Metcalf. First of all, could you share who Private Metcalf is and why that reunion?
Private Metcalf was the only believer in the platoon that I was a sergeant of, about 50 Marines. And in that platoon, for an entire year, he lived a very godly, holy life. During that time, I had persecuted him quite often. It had culminated in a time where I persecuted him greatly and caused him to stumble. I was since transferred to a different unit. I became a marksmanship instructor. And after my conversion, I felt very convicted after a couple of weeks. I needed to go back and tell Metcalf how sorry I was. I needed to ask forgiveness because I had persecuted him more than anyone else in my life. I had not seen him for about 6 months. He had not known that I had become a Christian. So as he was approaching me, he recognized who I was, and he stopped and looked at me, and his face changed. He had become white as a ghost. I said, "Metcalf, I'm here because I wanted to tell you something." "Yes, Sergeant." "I am a Christian now. I trusted in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior," and I had a big smile on my face. And he would not believe me. Finally, using Christian language, the little bit I knew over the time I was saved, maybe a few weeks by that time, finally, I convinced him after I quoted a few Bible verses that I had memorized since my conversion. And suddenly his eyes got big, and he had this reaction, this face, this expression of complete surprise. He said, "Really? You're a Christian now?" I said, "Yes, I'm a believer." He says, "I have prayed for you for an entire year. I praise God." And then everyone in the platoon stops, and we hug each other, and we're jumping up and down, former enemies. Enemies, a Jew who hated Christ, and here's this believer who loved Christ. As Ephesians 3 says, the middle wall of partition is broken down in Christ, where as Jew and Gentile become one in him. And we were jumping up and down praising God, and the sergeant said, "Hey, go outside if you want to, you know." And all the guys are laughing and joking and making fun of us. And so it was a perfect example of, you know, how Christ reconciles people as the Prince of Peace.
Yeah. I mean, what a witness that was to everyone who was watching.
Yes. I didn't know much about the Bible. He knew a lot more than me, but he was still a baby Christian. And I had not known how the reconciling grace of Christ not only reconciles us to God, but to one another. And that was a perfect example of it.
You know, it reminds me of Ananias when our Lord came to him and said, "I want you to go to the street called Straight. I want you to meet with Saul," who became Paul. And Ananias questioned the Lord, "Lord, do you know who this is? This is this person that has come to persecute us." And so you were that Saul, Paul, that Metcalf was sent to.
Yes, it was amazing. I had never seen Metcalf again since that day, that last day. But God answered my prayer, because for the first 2 weeks after my conversion, I had become more and more convicted that I needed to make restitution to Metcalf and apologize and ask his forgiveness. And I did. Before we hugged, I looked him in the eyes and said, "Can you please forgive me? I know I hurt you very badly." And after we were praising God together, he says, "Yes, I forgive you." And he kept talking about how much he had prayed for me and was praising God for such a miraculous answer to prayer.
You know, it reminds me of those that are harboring grudges against others. Once you confessed and went to Metcalf, didn't that make you feel good and clear that the Lord truly blessed you as it blessed Metcalf?
What happened was, in my prayer life, I was so new in the faith and the Holy Spirit was so full in me. He would not let me continue to walk with him in a peaceful way, by way of conscience, until I made things right with Metcalf. And it kept coming up in my reading and study of the Word and my prayer time. I needed to apologize to Metcalf. I needed to ask forgiveness. And that's what I did. And after I did that, it was like a huge load lifted from my shoulders. And anyone listening who might be restraining themselves from asking forgiveness or struggling with resentment or bitterness towards another person, I would say one of the reasons why your prayers might be hindered is because you have not reconciled with the person. Even if the other person was wrong and you were right, God wants us to make things right if it's within our ability and power. So I would encourage any of our listeners to deal with that, because the Lord is so quick and ready and willing and able to bring closure in our own hearts with any areas of hurt that people may have caused towards us. If we would just, from our hearts, as Jesus says, forgive them. And if we have an issue of not being able to forgive them from our hearts, the Lord wants us to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit.
Asking forgiveness, not only from God, but also from those we might have offended. As Colossians 3 verse 13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And we'll return to Joe's story in just a moment, so stay with us.
You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you. Just go to our website at Connections with Rich and Bobby. That's all one word. And Bobby is BOBBI.com. That's Connections with Rich and Bobby.com. There, all of our podcasts are posted, along with all of our contact information.
Also, you can connect with us on social media by friending us on Facebook, post on Instagram, or tweet us on Twitter. Now, let's return to Joe as he continues talking about forgiveness and what it means to truly forgive.
Very often, people say, oh, I forgive. And as a pastor, I've counseled so many people who have struggled with unforgiveness. But deep down inside, they really have not forgiven. They know that it's the right response to say they forgive. But from the depths of their heart, they have not yet been able to do that. But the Lord is ready to help them to break up the very foundations of that unforgiveness, to go as deep as He needs to go in them, to bring about a spirit of repentance and to pour out the love of the Holy Spirit again, so that even in the other person's fault and producing that would cause bitterness in us, which is wrong, yet the Lord can melt away that bitterness and replace it with the love of Christ and the pity of Christ for the other person.
You know, the other thing that comes to mind is that Metcalf mentioned to you that he'd have been praying for you for a year. And we're told that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous one availeth much. Now, to him, you were an arch enemy. You were an impossible person to come to Christ, so to speak, but yet he still prayed for you. Doesn't that bring encouragement to all those that are out there that are listening? Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to pray. Pray fervently.
Yes, one of the greatest means of witness and effective and powerful testimony that God often uses unto the saving of souls through His people is that of our godly witness during times of persecution. And what a witness Metcalf's life was. The Lord says in Scripture, in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And in another text, Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies, Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you only, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And so, as you suggested, the scripture says that we are to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you.
Can you give the reference on that, Pastor Joe?
That's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, and again in verses 43 through 46.
So important. And then also, we can't be responsible how the person responds, right? But we're responsible to go and ask forgiveness, and then the Lord has to work in their heart. So whether or not the person forgives us right away, is still important to go to them and ask forgiveness, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. The issue of reconciling with offended parties, on the part of the Christian, the responsibility is on us. If we are not at fault, if the other person is at fault, we are responsible to endeavor to maintain good relationships with them, good communication. We're to protect our heart from bitterness and hard feelings or bad thoughts towards them. We're not to judge them in our thoughts. We are to love them unconditionally. And Jesus said, love your enemies. And if we reach out to them and seek reconciliation, though it's their fault and not ours, if they reject us, then we can't do anything. We can't control their behavior. We've done our part. But as much as relies upon us, we are to reach out. We are to take the initiative. We can't sit back in a corner and fold our arms and say, well, it's their fault. No, we are to try to reach out and bring about peace and harmony in relationships. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So if we just do tit for tat, if we only love those who love us, if we only forgive those who apologize to us, what difference do people see in us compared to anyone else in the world who's not a Christian? Believers show otherworldly love. They forgive unconditionally. They take the initiative to try to reach out to people and even make it easier for them to maintain good relationships with them. You know, some people, Bobby, are willing to confess and apologize. If some Christians would just make it easy for them to do so, take the initiative, reach out to them, diffuse maybe the tension in the air between you and say, you know what? I just want to make sure that you and I are okay. Say something that would give them an opportunity or make it easier for them to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Reach out to them. Speak softly and kindly to them. Tell them that regardless of what happened between you two, you still are there for them and you want to maintain friendship or whatever it is. And make it easy for them to feel sorrow. The Bible says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of conviction on his head. Do good to those who do evil against you. Because in doing so, very often God will use it to bring them to their spiritual senses and show them how wrong they are, how sinful they are, just because you're doing good to them in response to the evil that they do to you.
Great advice on being obedient to the Lord. When we're seeking forgiveness from others, even from those who dislike us. Well, there's more. In our next podcast, Joe talks about his acceptance as a Jew to Christianity and how others received this change in his life. So be sure to join us then and invite others to join us for these life-changing stories on our podcast. Just point them to our website at Connections with Rich and Bobby, all one word and Bobby spelt with an I, .com. That's Connections with Rich and Bobby, .com.
Now you've been listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast on this platform or any of the others like iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. If you have a smart speaker, you can listen by simply saying, play the podcast Connections with Rich and Bobby. Then you can connect with us on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So please do take a moment to let us know about you. And we'd love to hear any feedback about what you've heard on our podcasts.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word, God's word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.